Walter Brueggemann is an Old Testament theologian, and probably the most famous living Old Testament scholar. And he wrote a seminal paper many years ago on the Psalms. And there are all kinds of ways that scholars throughout history have tried to group these 150 Psalms that we have in our scriptures. Whether they're wisdom literature, whether they're laments, that means a cry out of pain, or whether they're a combination of this or that. And Brueggemann came at it from a different perspective. He said, in the Psalms, we see three things going on. From all of their different genres and perspectives, three things. And he called it order, disorder, reorder. Order, disorder, reorder. Take that psalm we just read a moment ago. I was in a pit of despair, and God turned to me and helped me. Sounds like not very ordered, right? Something bad had happened. So this person, this psalmist, was in disorder. And then God reordered and gave the psalmist a new song to sing. A different way of looking at life. When I was a freshman in college, this would have been 1981, maybe early 82, I had taken a position as a youth director at a small church in Waco, and had no idea what I was doing. And the pastor and several of the adult sponsors at the time said we should have a lock-in as soon as school is out. I said, well, that's great. What's a lock-in? I had no idea. I'd never been to one, much less pulled one off. Well, the church we met in was a metal building shaped like a gymnasium, and we were planning to build a bigger church, but we started with that, and it had no windows, right? So it was just a solid, cheap metal building, but it was huge. And we had two interior walls that ran on each side so that we had Sunday school rooms on either side of the big room in the middle. No outside windows whatsoever. So I decided, and this was pre-internet, pre-cell phones, pre-everything. So I went to the library and got a book on a lock-in. And I decided, okay, here's what we're going to do. And I was petrified to do this event, petrified. Because not only were we doing it for our 15 kids, we had invited a neighboring church who only had four or five kids down the road, and we were all going to be here together. So I started planning this lock-in, and I planned it to the 15-minute interval. And I had everything planned. I had gone to the library to get my book, but I rented a projector and an old movie to show. We had, we were going to go roller skating first, but once we got to the church, I had every 15 minutes plotted out on what we would do. And I had gotten this guy who was a teen psychologist to come, and he and his wife were not only going to chaperone for us, but he was going to do a couple little sessions throughout the night and on, teen issues of the time. So I had this thing. It was great. And so we get back from roller skating, and the ladies of the church feed us, and then they leave, and we literally lock the door. Then this thunderstorm came in. I mean, a gully-washing thunderstorm. And it took out the transformer, which took out the lights, which also took out the phone line. We had total pitch darkness, and I had 19 adolescents under my control. All all of my planning just went. We're rummaging around trying to find flashlights. And I mean, you cannot imagine how pitch black it really was inside that building. There was nothing. We made our way to, we got some candles, we got some flashlights, and we sent one of our adults out in the rain to try to, on a rescue mission, I guess, I don't know, get help in some way. And we spent the rest of the night, next 6 hours, doing nothing. I was horrified. I had planned this thing out, but for everything I needed light and I needed electricity, it just fell completely apart. But one of the funny things that happened that night was relationships were made. And often later on, we would laugh about how hard it was and what we did and how I had to keep certain people apart during the night. But we laughed about it, and it built relationships. It absolutely fell apart. There was no redeeming it. No one had a good time, and everyone was miserable. Especially me. You know, a lot of times we're afraid to try new things. One of the Greek philosophers said that nothing endures but change. But we just don't like it. We don't like change. We have a big fear. We have a fear of doing new things because things like my lock-in can happen. Disaster happens. We fear that loss of control. We fear that people will look at us like we were a failure. We fear that whatever we do will be criticized because we missed the mark. We didn't hit it exactly on target. We fear disorder. We fear it because it's scary and it's painful. And it's like a long night in a windowless building with no electricity and 19 teenagers. That's what it's like. But without trying new things, without singing new songs, as the psalmist says, there is no growth. There is no future. Jesus talks about it in John. He says, unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it cannot grow. We have try new things. We cannot stagnate and stay, because what happens then is we just die with no new fruit. It's only in that moment when we give up control, when we plant the seed in the ground. Think about it. There's that moment you plant the seed. Remember when you were a little kid and you put the little bean in your Dixie cup with the soil and you watered it, and then you had to let it go. There's nothing you can control. Nothing. Your part's done. You just have to let God bring the growth. What was it Paul said? Apollo, I planted. Help me out. I planted, Apollo watered, and God brings the increase, right? When we give up control is when reorder can happen. We can stay in order for as long as we want. We can stay and stagnate. We can be like that pool of water that just sits in the hot sun and gets that little film on top that's just nasty. Or we can let the new things happen. We can let disorder into our lives because we know that God promises reorder. God promises reorder. Sometimes we're afraid to make choices and take chances and because we think we might be wrong. We might make a mistake. Guess what? We probably are. We're probably going to make a mistake. We're going to miss the mark. Remember we talked about it. That's what the word sin in the New Testament. It comes from an archery word, amartia, which means missing the mark. I mean, it's just like, man, I missed the target. Guess what? We're going to miss. We're going to miss the target. But that's okay. Because remember the parable that Roberta read? Even if we miss the target, the shepherd's still coming out to find us. Even if we miss, Jesus is still looking for us, watching over us, coming to get us, to bring us back where we should be. But that doesn't mean we don't try. We don't let our fears overcome us. Because we want to sing a new song. We want to proclaim what God has done for us, for other, so that other people may come to know God. If we don't want other people to come to know God, we might want to reevaluate why we come here. It's scary when we take chances. It's scary when that moment when you give up control. How many of you have ever been to an automatic car wash? You know, the kind that have the long pulleys? And there's a little sign you pull in there and it says, let go of your steering wheel, take your foot off the brake, and put the car in neutral. You do all that, and you're not sure if you're completely lined up right. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. Then all of a sudden, whoomp, it just takes you right in. If we really trust God, if we really believe in God, we'll be able to get past that moment when it is so frightening, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, when our life is disordered, when there's a little bit of chaos. Because we know the new song, the new order that God is going to bring out in us is going to be better than the old order. I want us to know there is redemption in every aspect of life. So many times in our culture, we are trained to not take risks, to not take chances, to stay in our lane because it's safe. But it's safe because it doesn't have a risk. Captain Obvious. But think about it. We can always stay safe. But until we plant that seed, until we reach out past that barrier of fear, past that moment when you don't know whether the car wash is going to pull you in or not, get past that moment. And let God redeem and reorder our existence. Because that's where the benefit comes. That's where God's kingdom becomes new. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.